only greater thing that you could hear after those wonderful manifestations is God's Word. And that's what we're going to get into. I was so blessed with that song. And if you still have your Bibles open, I know a number of you still have your Bibles open to Psalm 19, verse 9. We sang about it. I'm going to teach on a subject that, well, I hesitate to share the title of this subject because you might be a little apprehensive. I'm going to share on obedience and the fear of God. And a lot of times we don't want to know anything about obedience. We're free. We don't have obedience. You know, I stand before no man. I am my own man. And then the fear of God, be afraid of him. But that's the subject, and I hope, I trust that by the end of this sharing, you'll have a great desire to obey the words of God. And that you'll understand that the fear of God is a great reverence, a great awe, that you would just sow in your hearts a great respect for God so that you can continue to learn and grow and see the power of God manifested in your life. But isn't this a great verse here in Psalm 19, verse 9? The fear of the Lord is what? Clean. The text reads cleaning. If you have great respect, great awe for God, it's very cleaning. And how long does it last? So we're going to get into the subject of obedience and the fear of God. And to further introduce this subject, I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. I believe you're here to learn and to grow. And I know, of course, you're here because there's just the great love of God being manifested. And you just can't stay away from being around the wonderful believers and their care and concern one for another. But the great Word of God is what really counts in life. Because it's the Word of God that created the heavens and the earth. God said, and it was, right? So we want to continue to learn and grow in God's Word. And there's some keys in doing that. We're going to see that. There are two men that I want to share with you about. Two men. And they are the most influential men in the history of the world. What they have done has caused more in the negative side and in the positive side than any other two people could ever do. And they are mentioned in Romans chapter 5. So let's go to chapter 5, verse 19. And it says, Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who was that man? Adam. The fall of Adam. Because Adam disobeyed God, then man lost that spiritual connection that he had with God Almighty. And that just ruined it for all mankind. But thankfully, God so loved that he gave his son. And the rest of the verse. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. So by one disobedience, many were made sinners. By another obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Jesus Christ paid the price so that man could be born again of God's Spirit and have that spiritual connection with God Almighty. Wonderful. Jesus Christ was quite a man. Was he tempted? Was he a God-man where he would just, you know, he could do it automatically with one hand tied behind his back to redeem mankind, do the works that were necessary? No, he was a man. He was tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. yet without sin. Go to John chapter 4, if you would, in your Bibles. Jesus Christ had to obey God. And he successfully did. Even in spite of the great temptations that confronted him. If you remember, he was 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil himself. And yet, how did he handle it? He handled it by coming right back at the adversary with the word of God. It is written, make these bread stone, or make these stones bread. Well, Jesus Christ came back with the word of God. So he was tempted, but he overcame that temptation. And he always did the Father's will. He always obeyed God. And he always got great results by doing it. John 4:34. John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. This is what Jesus Christ was dedicated in doing, is to do the work of the Heavenly Father and to finish it. Look at chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So we're seeing here the most successful man in the world obeyed God every single time and got great results. So if you and I obey the words, will we get good results? Yes, we will, big time. Big time. Let's look at one more chapter 8 here in John 8:28. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So Jesus Christ was successful, and as we see his success in following the Father and obeying him, then we too, I hope, are influenced to obey the words of God and see great results. You know, the ultimate right act of man is to obey God. The greatest thing you and I can do is to say yes to the word of God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, made whole, complete. That's the word of God. And if you obey that, you get born again of God's Spirit. You get filled with the gift of Holy Spirit. You have eternal life, on and on and on. Just by obeying the words of God. Pretty good. Pretty good. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. You know, I was thinking, knowing that Jesus Christ was a man, he was born of Mary, and he was a baby, right? At one point, he was a couple, 3 years old, right? And you think he cried a little bit? Yeah, I mean, here he is 6 months. You don't think, you know, he wasn't hungry, and he said, hey, Mom, I'm time to eat. You know, Jesus, he knows everything. He'd probably talk right out of the womb. No, he was a little child. He grew like any other child would. And that's what's so magnificent about our Lord and Savior, that he was a man. He did the redemptive works, not as a God-man, but as a true man. He had to learn who his father was. And he learned through the scriptures. His parents had to teach him. He knew by 12 years old, didn't he? Were they his parents? They went to Jerusalem. They left. A couple days they found, where is Jesus? Couldn't find him. They went back to Jerusalem. And after a couple days they found him talking with the Pharisees. And he said, don't you know I need to go about my father's business? So by then he knew what he was to do, to obey his heavenly father. So we want to obey God's word too. So Philippians 2 is a great exhortation here. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want that mind to be in us. Think like he did. Look to God in everything. Obey him all the time. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What he had to do was to be obedient to die for us. And did he do it? Yes, he fully obeyed. He paid the price and he hurt. His pain was as bad as the pain we feel. We stub our toe. But he went through much worse than that. And yet he did it. He did it by obeying his heavenly Father. And of course the results are phenomenal. The new birth realities that we know today, that we can have eternal life, be born again of his Spirit. But he did it because he obeyed. And that caused great results for you and I. Wherefore God also, verse 9, hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. And the word work out in the King James Version I'm reading from really means demonstrate. Show your own salvation. Show who you are in Christ. Demonstrate it. Show it out. And how do you do that? With fear and trembling. Now, literally, we think fear and trembling being afraid and shaking. No, this is just the opposite. Just the opposite, with great awe, respect, with great reverence. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. You see, this is why I want to get into not only obeying God, but to do it through the fear of God. The fear of God being the awe, the reverence, the respect that we can have for God. Okay. This is a great key in learning to receive the things of God, is to have the fear of God. Let's go to Psalm 1 first. Let's go there first, and then we'll look at some others. Proverbs 1, verse what? You kind of know where I'm going, maybe, some of you? 7? 1:7? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Having that awe, that respect, that reverence for God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, if you're going to learn anything from anybody, you're going to have respect for them. You got to say, hey, this person knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I'll listen to him. Now, let's say we were going to do a class here on the computer, and you really need to know, how to work the computer. So you want to come, but then I tell you, I, Bob Linfelt, will be teaching the class on the computer. Now, some of you are kind of smiling, laughing, because I know very little about the computer. So I probably wouldn't have too many folks come, because they know they wouldn't have very much respect for me in light of the computer, because I don't know very much about it, and they know that. But if I said we're having a class on the computer and Bill Gates is going to be here to teach it, everybody and their mother would show up. Right, because they have great respect for this guy who invented the processing part, yeah. See, now you know how much I really know, or don't know. The operating system, the Microsoft operating system that are in the PCs are as a result of what he put together. But see, you have great respect and awe for him, don't you? So you're going to listen to him. He created the PC. Well, who created the heavens and the earth? So why not have a little respect for him when we go to the Word? See, and that's why it says here, having this respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Having the fear of God is a neat thing to have. It does so much for you. And we saw in Psalm 19. Now let's go to Psalm. You saw in Psalm 19, we'll read this again, verse 9. I trust by the end of the teaching here, you'll have great desire to have the fear of the Lord. To build a great respect and awe for a heavenly Father, because what it does, the fear of the Lord is clean. It's cleansing, enduring forever. Psalms 111. Take a look at that. Psalm 111. Verse 10. 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. If you want the things of God, you go to the Word of God and build a great respect for him, a great awe. He has done some wonderful things. The more you learn about that, perhaps the greater respect you have. Not only did he create the heavens, the earth, the universe, and everything else, but he made man so he could have somebody to love and somebody to love him back. And boy, to learn that relationship, that God has given to man his spirit so that they could fellowship, that they could be loved and loved back by him. My goodness, just the greatest thing in the whole world. And I tell you, what it takes to really understand and appreciate that is this great awe and respect for God, this fear of God. 112. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. You're going to be blessed. 112:1, verse 1 there. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Proverbs 9. Look at a few of these here. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, if you're really going to learn the things of God, there's got to be a point in your life that you have some kind of a respect for Him, that you say, okay, there is a God. He's, you know, somebody had to put this together so perfectly as it is perfect. So, boy, having that respect, that awe, going to His Word opens the door for wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You want to live a long time, which do you want to have? Fear of the Lord, the reverence of God. 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. And His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Man, oh man, to have this reverence of God, to build this in our hearts, man, it just, look what it makes available to us. 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And then 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And then 22:4. So this is a great quality, a great attitude of mind to have, the fear of the Lord, the respect, the reverence to God Almighty. 24:4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I'm sorry, 22:4. I'm looking at 24. Thank you. Chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. There it is. There it is. How can I get the fear? And there's a section in the Bible that teaches us how to get this fear of God, this reverence of God, to have this mindset. And it's in Psalm 34. So look at Psalm 34. If you can mold this attitude, this mindset of having respect for God, putting Him first, makes all the difference in your life. And you can see the results that we saw in the Word there. But in Psalm 34, we're going to get to verse 9 and take a quick look at it. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Okay? And then verse 11 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. But before that, I want to read the previous verses that build into that mindset, that attitude of having reverence to God. So verse 1, chapter 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from some of my fears. All my fears. That's what the Word says. All my fears. Is there a fear too big that God can't handle? No. No. Boy, praising the Lord. I was so thankful, you know, this morning singing these great songs and getting into praising our Heavenly Father. Getting this attitude up. Being excited about who we are as children of God, and who God is, being so wonderful and loving. So praise the Lord. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. We did that one, didn't we? Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him or reverence him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Boy, see how wonderful it is to reverence our God. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that reverence him, fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear, the reverence of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Okay. Keep thy tongue from evil. Here's some keys here in having this fear of the Lord. You know, what this first verse, verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? It's talking in regard of all that makes life worth living. All that makes life worth living. Okay, in light of this, keep your tongue from evil. Don't talk evil. Don't talk negative. You know, all we talk about are not we, but the world talks about the problems in the world. This is bad. This is horrible. That person's ugly. Oh my golly, back and forth. But hey, with the fear of the Lord, the one thing we don't want to do is what? Speak evil. And thy lips from speaking guile. Deceitful trickery is guile. Guile, deceitful. You know, we're not scheming things to hurt others. We're not scheming to take advantage of people. Like, what is that insurance company, AIG? How deceitful was that? My golly. Ripping people off, taking bonuses. That's no fear of the Lord there. But you know what? Unfortunately, they're not going to receive some of the great things you receive by having the fear of the Lord, reverence of the Lord. But I don't want to get into it because I don't want to speak evil, all right? So I'll back off here. Depart from evil and do good. Okay, that's what we want to do, right? That's what we want to concentrate in. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Boy, this is living, learning this fear of the Lord. This is the attitude of mind. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, are you righteous? You are because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Now, you might not be righteous in your acts, you know, the things that you've done in your life, but I tell you what, Jesus Christ made you righteous, right? We have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Boy, if you do, then God's going to bless you. Don't look at your human acts, your actions, and say, man, God's not going to like this. I'm not going to get any blessings at all. He's not going to heal me of this because I kind of made a mistake and I didn't read my Bible for an hour. And no, look at, I'm righteous. God has made me righteous through Jesus Christ. And I'm humble. I know that it took Jesus Christ to do it, God's only begotten Son, to make that available. So I'm thankful for that. But doggone it, I am righteous. And God's going to bless me. God's going to bless me because I am righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth, I can't, this is English, old English stuff, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. How many of their troubles? All. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Boy, you got a broken heart, things are not working for you. Who's there? God Almighty's there. Man, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit or a grieving spirit, just feeling bad in your heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yeah, we have problems, right? But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. What that means, I have not a clue. You're going to have to ask somebody else to interpret that for you. I'm sure there's some great meaning because God wouldn't have it there. But the next verse, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You trust in him, you're not going to be desolate. Let's talk about servants. In the New Testament, we're born again sons of God. We're a little closer relationship to God as sons, not servants. Boy, oh boy. Pretty neat stuff. Let's go to Let's go to Acts. Talk about the New Testament and the early church. Book of Acts talks about what happened in the early church after the day of Pentecost when people were first born again of God's Spirit. Chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest or peace throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. You know, they were built up and walking what? Walking in the fear of the Lord. See, this is our church, our fellowship. We want to have that. You know, we want to, instead of talking about, you know, the greatest movies going on now, let's talk about how great our Heavenly Father is or how God blessed me in this situation. Instead of complaining about, you know, the economy and all this stuff, let's start talking about God is great. This is what He did for me, man. This is what I'm praying for. Let's pray together on this. Let's see victory in here. Let's see God work in our lives in this situation. Man, that's how we want to address our life. Walking in the fear or the reverence of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit were multiplied. Boy, that church, they hit a point in their life where things were really moving. Really moving. And a big part of that is walking in the fear of the Lord, having great reverence. That's what we want to develop in our hearts, in our lives. Philippians 2. We want to finish Philippians. We got to verse 2 in chapter 2, or verse 12 rather. So Philippians. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. We got to hit 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's on the way, so. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We want to get to the point knowing that we are sanctified. Holiness, we're holy before God. God has sanctified us. He has made us holy. To be holy or sanctified is to set off special. Oh, just special. You know, you put that special china in the cabinet. You never use it because it's so special. It's so beautiful. See, it's holy. Don't touch that. That's holy. Can't use it. That's who we are. We're holy, sanctified. God set us so. He said, devil, you don't touch him. He's mine. And this is what we, you know, how do we perfect this? From all filthiness, flesh, spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, in the reverence of God, that we have this attitude of reverencing God, knowing how wonderful and great He is. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 2. We read verse 12. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 12, we finished there, right? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, or, you know, demonstrate it with this great reverence and great awe. You know, this is what we do. And this is where it ties together. We obey God with this attitude of reverencing God, putting Him first. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. We all have a part in the family. We all have things that we do in the family of God. And with great reverence to God, we know that. We do that. We obey God. You know, I'm so blessed that, you know, what people do in the family of God here that function in the body of Christ. You know, Fred and Ern, they get here early, you know, 8:30 or whatever it was, setting up the equipment, getting everything just right so you'll be blessed. Why? Because they're obeying God. Okay, it's not like they're obeying me because I asked them to do it. That's not the point. They believe God's calling on their heart to do these kind of things. You know, to do the specific job within the body of Christ. So they do it with all reverence to God. They do it because they know it's going to bless all of you. God's word's going to be heard, you know, via the system here. You know what they did? They took all this stuff down, took it to the shop because we're having little nitpicky little problems that you probably don't notice, or most of you don't notice, but to get it perfect, they took it there to make sure things, something was wrong, and they checked it, brought it all the way back out here and set it up again. I mean, it's just, you know, people doing these kind of things, they're acting. They love God. They have this reverence for God. So they do what God's called them to do. They demonstrate that great salvation that they have. You know, Tom and the boys come here and set up perfectly this chairs and everything, making sure that everything's set up. Come early to do this. Tom comes at 5 in the morning to put the chairs away so the guy can do the carpet. 5 in the morning. So, but why does people do these kind of things? Because they love God. They know what God's done for them. They have great reverence for Him. They want to grow with Him. They want to do what God's called them to do in the family. So they do it. What, do you see what I'm saying here a little bit? Boy, it's working together in the family. It's having this attitude of mind that God is first, that I'm going to do things in my life reflecting God is first in my life because I love Him, I respect Him. He's number one. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Man, we need to act like that. Sometimes the believers get talking and arguing, don't like this, don't like that. What does the Word say? Back off. Yeah. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Man, oh man. We want to see God's Word move around the world. We want to see the integrity and accuracy of God's Word made available to each and every soul who desires to know. And we're going to do our best to make it so. And as we are obedient to God's Word with the fear of God in our hearts, the respect and awe that He deserves, we're going to do some great things. Great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to come to pass. People's lives are going to be changed. They're going to get born again. They're going to help other people get born again and function within the family of God. Man, oh man. You know, I tried to put together a closing statement to close out this sharing, because this is big stuff here. You know, having this attitude of mind. And I thought, and I wrote this down, no, it doesn't sound right. And then I looked at a teaching that Barney did, January 1997. Our obedient devotion. And he closes it out beautifully. Listen to this. As you and I get enlightened, understanding from both the scriptures and the Spirit of God within us, our appreciation, respect for God and the things of God grows immensely. Certainly, as we reflect upon all that has been given so freely to us, our heartfelt response will be to offer to God that appreciation and respect that He so deserves, so richly deserves. The quality of all our lives can only be more deeply enriched and profited by our obedient devotion to Him and in joyful service for Him. In light of all we have received, our untiring efforts and energies to uphold the standard of His Word and walk for Him continues to be the most noble of all of life's endeavors. And he closes in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of man. Amen? Okay.